coming up. Wait a minute. Am I hearing the right...
He's here. We can bring him in.
Oh, let's bring him in. We have the TV editor from the AV Club joining John Tatey in studio is Eric, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well,
Eric
Patty.
Adams in the flesh.
I'm dancing in my chair here to the lead-in music.
Which we're going to... Now, am I right? Is that the Newhart
theme
song? That
is. That's the Bob Newhart theme song.
Okay,
written by Lorenzo Music.
Oh,
no,
really?
Yeah.
Because I always saw his name in the credits. This is how this segment came about, in fact. I was falling down a YouTube wormhole the other day, and I watched a couple versions, in fact, of the Bob Newhart opening credits, and it just made me think of Eric because he does love that show, and I thought we should just talk about Chicago's sitcom legacy, shows that have been set in Chicago over the years, what Chicago looks like through the lens of TV comedy. The Bob Newhart Show has to be one of the most iconic. Do people remember this show, Eric?
Oh, I would think so, right, Eric?
Patty remembers it.
I certainly hope so. I mean, if you
but
were...
he's had a lot of shows.
He's had a lot of shows. This was not the first Bob Newhart show. After he first came onto the scene as a stand-up comedian with The Button-Down Mind and all of those albums, he was given a variety show that was called The Bob Newhart Show in the 60s. It only lasted for one season. It was kind of a flop.
I mean, he's got that, you know, he needs to be surrounded by crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
He's a consummate straight man.
Right. And you know, Johnny Carson had a variety show before he had the Tonight Show. He had a variety show, I think, on CBS. And I think it failed for the similar reason where they tried to, like, put dance girls in and all these different things rather than letting him just be himself. And it sounds like Newhart would have suffered from the same problem, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right? And they built the perfect format for him in this show where, you know, if you are familiar with Bob Newhart's stand-up, it's largely these monologues that are actually one half of a dialogue. You're not hearing the other half. The quintessential Newhart routine is he's dictating revisions to the Gettysburg Address.
Yes.
And so he's responding in real time to things that Abe Lincoln is saying, but we're not hearing Abe Lincoln. So the masterstroke of the Bob Newhart show is they make him a therapist, and so he's having these conversations, and that's really the core of any episode, is that he's in his office, his beautiful walnut and orange 70s office, talking to people like Elliot Carlin, the incredibly neurotic patient who kind of recurs throughout the entire run of the show, wound up turning up on St. Elsewhere.
Yeah.
Afterwards, the actor's name is failing me now, but he was a great voiceover performer. He went on to play Stew Pickles on the Rugrats.
Really?
And he was also the voice. He was the male voice of the couple that talked about Country Crock. If you remember those,
no.
Those half hour,
oh,
those
I can totally
30
hear
second
it now.
Spots. Yeah,
I can hear it.
Yeah.
I'm desperately trying to find the actor that played Mr. Carter.
Yeah, he's great. Elliot Carlin. But like that, you know, that was the core of that show, was talking to these crazy people and Newhart reacting to them in his very dry, incredibly Midwestern way.
You know, you talk about these half a dialogue, what a great way to put it, his stand-up routine, and he would do a lot of telephone calls, too, where he would just hold the telephone, you were only hearing one end of the conversation. For the first couple of years of the Bob Newhart show, he'd always begin the show by answering the phone, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's the very beginning of the theme song that we just heard, is a phone rings, he picks it up, and he goes, "Hello?" And then there's the pause, and then that beautiful horn fanfare, and that was your cue that, like, you're getting pulled into Bob Newhart's universe here. You know him as the straight-laced guy on the phone.
Why right. Chicago, do you think, for the Bob Newhart show?
Well, I think specifically because he's from here.
Mm-hmm.
He got his start
from Oak
here.
Park, right? Is he from Oak Park? Yep.
He was an ad man in the city. That's kind of how he got his start in stand-up, is that he was... going back to the half a dialogue, the reason that he did that is because he had a comedy partner. I believe he had a comedy partner who worked with him at the ad agency. The partner dropped out, And then he just kind of continued doing his part of the routines.
Yeah. Amazing.
What happened to that guy? Poor guy.
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those wasted opportunities, you know?
And so when he started doing stand-up comedy, I mean, obviously, he had one of the top-selling albums one year, didn't he?
Yeah, the Button-Down Mind, the year it came out, was like the top-selling album of the year. I believe it was a Grammy winner for album of the year. It was this huge breakthrough thing that really made stand-up a recorded medium. I think if, you know, the stand-up album has kind of fallen by the wayside now that we get a new Netflix stand-up special every single week.
Right.
But, you know, back in the early 60s, the only time you're seeing stand-up comedy is you're going to a nightclub or you're seeing it in between burlesque acts. It wasn't necessarily something that you're bringing to the house and putting on the hi-fi, unless it's sort of like party records that like Red Fox was putting out or something. Like, this is kind of a legitimization of the stand-up form on record, was the Button-Down Mind, and it revolutionized the entire medium.
Erica, I wonder how many other stand-up comics were getting comedies at the time? Because, you know, we sort of think of that as more the 80s and I guess in the 70s, too, when you think about the comics that appeared on Johnny Carson. But Bob Newhart was kind of ahead of that, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He was. That's another place, I think, where he was kind of groundbreaking. And he benefited from being kind of brought under the wing of the Mary Tyler Moore machinery, MTM Enterprises, which was the production company that she started with her husband, Grant Tinker, which produced the Mary Tyler Moore Show and then started building this huge sitcom empire, the second piece of which was the Bob Newhart Show. There was an episode, I can't remember if it was the first or second season of Mary Tyler Moore, where they wanted to bring Bob Newhart in. I believe he was unavailable to do it. But they kind of had an eye on him. They, like, the people who were behind the scenes at MTM, whether it was Grant Tinker, whether it was Mary Tyler Moore, whether it was James L. Brooks or Alan Burns, the other creator of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, they had this great eye for talent, and they built these great writers' rooms, and that's kind of what the Bob Newhart Show came out of, is Lorenzo Music and I cannot remember the other creator.
You've hit
of
a lot of names,
show.
You've done a good job.
And they, okay. I mean, yes.
It's the MTM. They specialized in building these ensemble comedies, right? They really built sort of a machine to turn. Not that it wasn't artful, but a machine to turn out these sort of complicated ensemble comedies.
Comedies that took place in the middle of the country, like Mary Tyler Moore was Minneapolis, Bob Newhart was Chicago.
Let's take a break here. We're going to continue our conversation after the news. We're hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios with Eric Adams. He's the TV editor for the AV Club. John Tatey, writing Sidecar tonight. I'm in Los Angeles, but we'll
talk
about
that
later.
By the way, Patty, I think you might like to know that the news is sponsored by Team Hawk. Oh, are we tossing to it right now?
Yeah, I got to go to break first.
Okay.
Break
well,
first,
I'll tell you after the break who's sponsoring.
I would love to hear that. I would love that.
Great.
More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show on 720 WGN. I am broadcasting from the KTLA studios in Los Angeles. They've been gracious enough to lend me their studios while I'm out here doing some work and doing the show. Back at the studio, Allstate Showcase Studio, we have John Tatey writing Sidecar. You can find him on Twitter at John Tatey, T-E-T-I, and he's the host of Pop Mom. We'll talk a little bit about that some more when we come back later on. And in studio with him as well is Eric Adams, the TV editor for the AV Club, and we're talking about the Newhart Show and sitcoms that are based in Chicago or originate in Chicago. You know, Eric, one of the articles that I found when I was researching about the Newhart Show was about the kind of ridiculous opening sequence in the sense that it makes no sense as to where he's going geographically in Chicago.
It's a total mess. It's a complete invention of television where, like, he's crossing the river multiple times to go north to ride the red line up to Sheridan, which, you know, you can visit that apartment building still. That was something that my wife and I did when we were watching the show all the way through the first time, as we rode our bikes up to Edgewater, and that building is still there.
Did you go inside?
We did not go inside. No. But the show doesn't technically go inside. The show uses the building as an establishing shot, and then like the show tonight, throws itself all the way over to Los Angeles. We're really doing We're doing classic Chicago sitcom here right now with us seeing the views of the Chicago skyline, and then the brain trust of the show out in LA.
It's in LA. That's perfect.
I know, and I could lie and say that no one would know unless they were watching the live stream. No idea, but I don't like doing that.
Well, I'm going to nerd out a little bit, Patty.
Yes.
There were two intros to the Bob Newhart show, mm-hmm. right? And you're talking about the first one, the more classic one, I think, with the brassier arrangement, too, of the theme song. And then it gets a little more 70s, like contemporary jazz the second one they have, and it's even less geographically grounded, because you have this stylized treatment of Bob just sort of crossing the street again and again as this sort of graphical rectangle follows his. It's quite striking,
yes.
But not as much of a sort of Chicago feel as the first one. It's more anonymous city in the second one.
It's a lot of walking down the Mag Mile, basically. Yeah. You can see him crossing in front of Water Tower Place, because that's the other thing, is that his office building, the Rimbau Medical Arts Center, is what is now the Realtors Association building on Michigan.
Oh, we used to broadcast the show right across the street from that building.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know we were in the presence of greatness.
By the way, I'm sorry. I'm reading this. Here's Bob Newhart explaining his travels every single day when he was asked about this. He told Conan O'Brien, I get on what in Chicago was the Ravenswood L, and I'm taking that like I'm going home from the office, and I get off the little station I get off at. That's on the ground. The L at some point goes on the ground, which is about 55 blocks from our apartment, and I do this every day. I miss my stop and walk back 55 blocks to our apartment. Now, would you want a therapist who missed his stop every day?
No, but I'd want to watch that therapist in a weekly comedy in primetime on CBS in the 1970s.
It would take him 6.5 hours, according to... I love that there's been research done on this.
I remember
2 hours. 2 hours in each direction. I'm sorry. 6.5 miles from the Evanston station to his home.
I remember that surfaced I want to say it was maybe DNA Info, did the plotting out of his route one day, and I was so mad that I hadn't thought of that. That was such a great
that
idea.
You hadn't written that article yourself
for dozens, the 10 people that would click on that headline.
Well, what are some other sitcoms over the years that have made their home in Chicago?
Well, talking about paths that I've recently traced, I started this evening at Wrigley Field, and I got off the Red Line at Lake, walked up, saw the brilliant Chicago Theater marquee, and I realized that I had done the Perfect Strangers theme song.
Yes. Wow, I forgot about Perfect Strangers.
Balky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Another one where, the apartment, the establishing shot apartment for that show was in Los Angeles. The building has since been demolished. I tried to pay pilgrimage to it one time when I was out there, and was sorely disappointed.
Aww.
But that's another one here. Balky comes to Chicago to meet up with his American cousin Larry, who was also sort of he is standing tall on the wings of his dreams, as Jesse Fredericks wrote in the theme song to the show. They wind up colliding here in Chicago as a 1980s version of The Odd Couple, with which ABC used to launch their TGIF franchise.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's gone now, isn't it? TGIF? Because I feel like Dr. Ken's, that night that Dr. Ken, Tim Allen, all those comedies were on were the Friday night TJF holdouts, and they don't do that anymore, do they?
They tried to bring the branding for it back this season. I'm not sure if they stuck with it, but when they moved Speechless and Fresh Off the Boat to Fridays, they tried to kind of re-energize the TGIF brand.
A couple of times they've tried to breathe new life into that, and it hasn't really taken. It really was its own moment.
Well, I think there's just such nostalgic attachment to those Miller Boyette shows that, like, you're never going to remove that connotation from those shows. It's kind of like they talk about now that Shonda Rhimes has left ABC for her Netflix exclusive deal to attempt to continue the TGIT brand, the Thank Goodness It's Thursday that they kind of manufactured when Scandal and Grey's and How to Get Away with Murder were all on together the same night. And it just, you know, it's very hard. You establish these relationships with these shows in these big chunks all on one night that you're watching together. And in the case of TGIT, you're watching them with a large sort of social media audience alongside you on the virtual couch. And when those shows end, or when their creators move away, or when the audiences, you know, kind of taper off as they tend to naturally do on television, it's very hard to recreate that.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Let's take a break here. And we're talking to Eric Adams. He's a TV editor for the AV Club. We're talking about Chicago sitcoms, Chicago-based sitcoms. Of course, one that comes to mind right off the bat for me is Married with Children. We'll talk about that more with John Tatey, writing Sidecar in the Allstate Skyline Studios. I'm out in Los Angeles at the KTLA Studios. And we'll be right back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
We are winding down Tuesday night, heading into Wednesday morning. I'm broadcasting from the KTLA studios in Los Angeles, and riding Sidecar tonight back at the Allstate Skyline Studios is John Tatey, and we have Eric Adams, who is the TV editor for AV Club, in studio with him as well. And we're talking about sitcoms that are based out of Chicago, and you know, the opening sequence of Married with Children, you know, does a nice job of you know, showing our city off a little bit. What other shows do you think kind of show off Chicago in a way that, I mean, Newhart really, I think, set the you know, the standard for the way we like to see our city, even if it was a ridiculous path home.
Yeah, like, what does Chicago bring to the table as a setting for these shows?
Well, I feel like it's a perfect melting pot, you know? Like, you can tell stories about working class families like the Bundys in Married with Children, or like the Connors, even though they lived in the suburbs on Roseanne. And then you can also kind of focus on your young working professionals, like in Happy Endings, a more recent Chicago-based sitcom. There was this real spate, I feel like, of like hangout post Friends kinds of single camera shows in the past decade that were set here. Happy Endings is probably the most prominent example, prominent in quotes. Like, it was a short-lived show. It was only on for three seasons, but people really loved it and rejoiced when it finally came to Hulu. But there were also, you know, a sleeper show like My Boys, which was on TBS for a few years, starring Jo-Dana Spiro, as I believe she was a sports writer who had this sort of coterie of male friends, which included our mutual interviewee, Jim Gaffigan, John.
Yes, we have both spoken to Jim over the years. He's a good egg.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just this very kind of like light, frothy friends hanging out in Chicago.
Was the League set in Chicago?
The League was also set in Chicago. Huh. I think they all lived in the suburbs, but like their hangout was ostensibly Gibson's.
Now, hold on. Before we go on, I do have to say, before I start getting texts from folks, I didn't realize, and I don't, were the Connors really living in a suburb of Chicago? Because I thought they were like in Iowa or something like that for Roseanne.
No, they were, I believe they were in, like, it's supposed to be the, like, southwest suburbs.
Yeah, I think it's downstate Illinois. Yeah.
Oh, maybe that. Oh, I didn't realize it was in Illinois.
Well, yeah, there you go. Because, you know, I feel like the characters wear a lot of Bears regalia. That's right. And it's kind of like that's the classic kind of like establishing that this show is taking place in Chicago is like you've got a Cubs pennant like hanging in the background somewhere. Like that's the cheapest, easiest way is that you send the props department out to the sports memorabilia store and it's like, give me an Ernie Banks poster.
Well, you know what? It does say that, okay, in this article I found that it was the fictional town of Lanford, Illinois. And people speculate about which part of Illinois that might be.
I've got a little stumper for Eric here because we've been talking about, I doubt I'll stump him, but I'm going to try because we've been talking about shows that are set in Chicago, but none of these programs were taped here in any substantial, other than establishing shots, as you've said. There was a show in the early 2000s with a prominent star. Oh, he's already nodding his head. That was on her insistence, on the star's insistence, shot and set here in Chicago. Patty, you know this one too?
What years were you saying?
I was early 2000s.
Okay, yes. Then yes. I think so.
What was the show?
Well, maybe we can team up on this because I can't remember the title, but I know that the star was Joan Cusack.
Oh, is that really?
Oh, Patty, you had something else in mind?
Yeah, so it was a Joan Cusack project?
Yeah, What About Joan, it was called.
That's right. It was What About Joan. That was a good one, too.
Was it?
Yeah, I like that show. I enjoyed it. By the way, do you know that she has like a little houseware store, a little like gift shop in Old Town? And she is behind the counter.
We do. It's not that far from the AV Club offices where I used to work and where Eric still does. And we actually had her on an AV Club live show at Second City, which she did because she could just walk out the door of her gift shop and walk like a block and a half to the theater. It was an easy gig for her.
I walked into her store, you know, sort of hoping she would be there. I didn't make a big deal when she was restocking and facing things on the shelves. And I just made my purchase of some cool novelty socks. And I was going to make a dork out of myself, and I chose not to. That's how I played that one.
Oh, good for you.
I thought it was going to be Bonnie. I thought it was a Bonnie Hunt show. Yeah, but you're right. It was a Los Angeles. She was from, you know, it was about Chicago. She would reference a lot of Chicago restaurants like Topo Gigio's. But that was in L.A.
What was that show? The Bonnie Hunt one.
Just Bonnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was during the break, Patty, John and I were talking about some shows that I had been talking with our former coworker, Sean, while I was at the Cubs game. And he brought up another Bonnie Hunt show that was called The Building. Do you remember that one?
No.
So this one was 5 episodes on CBS. Yeah. Yeah. Who could remember a 5-episode show on CBS in the early 90s when CBS was nothing but Murphy Brown and Dave's World? But... so she lived in an apartment that was like behind Wrigley Field, and it was kind of an opportunity for her to bring in a lot of her Second City buddies. It was this sort of loose improv-fueled sitcom about people living in an apartment building.
Oh, I had no idea. By the way, a listener just texted in from the 708, another Chicago-based show that's supposed to be taking place there, is Mike and Molly.
Oh, right.
That's right. He's a cop. He's a Chicago cop in the series. Yeah, there's another one. 312-981-7200. We're talking about Chicago-based sitcoms. We're going to talk some more comedy after the news as well. What else? What other shows do come to mind for you guys that are Chicago-based?
Well, I feel like we've been ignoring like Good Times and Family Matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I never think of Family Matters, but definitely Good Times. I didn't realize that Family Matters was also Chicago based.
Yeah, Family Matters, a Perfect Strangers spinoff.
Then that would make sense.
Yeah, Harry Winslow was the elevator operator in the building where Larry and Belky worked.
See, I feel like by the time we got to Family Matters, the Chicago was so watered down that it doesn't even register as a Chicago show, right? Where I think you could make that case for the Bob Newhart show to some degree, but Family Matters is just any town USA, I feel like.
But you still get in the credits footage of the Winslows riding their bikes across the river.
We have to go to a break. Eric, I want you to come back sometime and hang out in studio with us and talk TV. Doesn't always have to be Chicago-based, but we'd love to talk more television with you.
Yeah, I'd love to do it.
And I want to thank John Tatey for introducing us. Where can people find your work and how can they follow you?
People can find me on the AV Club, which is www.avclub.com. And they can find me on Twitter. My handle is Eric M. Adams.
Eric with a K.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's important.
Very important distinction.
Eric, it was lovely to sort of meet you.
the same.
Thank you so much for joining us. More after this on 720 WGN.